Hello there, and welcome to all of our listeners out there. For those of you familiar with our ministry, you are aware that we observe an activity known as Mix It Up March throughout the month of March every single year. This involves doing a number of things differently than we're accustomed to. For example, we ask people to sit in a different spot every time they come to worship, or to talk to someone that they don't often talk to. Now, if you thought we'd run out of ideas, you're wrong. Because now we're mixing it up by all worshiping from our own homes, perhaps even in our pajamas. But seriously, we have canceled our public gathering to try to do our part to slow the spread of the coronavirus in our community and world. While we aren't meeting together physically, we realize that this whole situation may be creating various needs for you and your families. If you find yourself needing assistance with groceries being dropped off at your front porch, or if you would like some homeschooling support now that you find yourself in that role, or if you just would like to talk to a pastor or a professional counselor at no cost to you, please reach out to our church office at 509-783-7265, and we'd love to try to help you. We have a number of volunteers who are ready and willing to assist. Now that I've shared that, we're going to try to mix things up a little bit today. I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little bit tired hearing about the coronavirus. So for the next 30 to 40 minutes, let's just leave that behind for a bit. And let's listen to the beautiful story of Jesus' love for us. If you do need to hear a message from God's word about the coronavirus, then please listen to my message from last week, March 15th, which can be found on our website at www.southridge-church.com. But for now, those of you who continue listening, I invite you to join me and my family, whom you'll hear as the congregation in this audio, as we all together in our different locations worship our great God. Continuing in this Lenten season with the theme, The Son of God Goes Forth into War. Today's specific focus is Jesus as the rejected warrior. We'll begin worship now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. We confess our sins. Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned by our own fault, by our own grievous fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, O Lord. We confess to you, Lord, all our past unfaithfulness, the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience in our lives, our self-indulgent appetites and ways, and our manipulation of other people. We confess to you, O Lord. Our anger when our selfish aims are denied, our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves, and our negligence in worship and prayer. We confess to you, O Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for the wrongs we have done, for our blindness to human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty, for all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts toward others, and for our prejudice and contempt for those who differ from us, for what we think or say or do that is at variance with your will. Forgive us, O Lord. Restore us, good Lord, and let your anger depart from us. Hear us, Lord, for your mercy is great.
Lord, we give you every failure, every sin, every act of rebellion against your great and merciful love. Depth of mercy.
Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their wickedness and live. For this reason, God sent his Son into this world to sacrifice his own life, earning forgiveness of sins and eternal life for all. Therefore, all your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our Passion History reading today continues with Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man to me as one who is misleading the people. Look, I have examined him in your presence. I have found in this man no basis for the charges you are bringing against him. Herod did not either, for he has sent him back to us. See, he has done nothing worthy of death, so I will have him flogged, and then I will release him. At the time of the festival, the governor had a custom to release to the crowd any one prisoner they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner named Barabbas, who had been thrown in prison for a rebellion in the city and for murder. The crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do for them what he usually did. So when they were assembled, Pilate said to them, "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews to you? Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For Pilate, in fact, knew that they had handed Jesus over to him because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate's wife sent him a message. "I have nothing to do with that righteous man," she said, "since I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus put to death. The governor asked them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They all shouted together with one voice, "Take him away! Release Barabbas to us!" Pilate said to them, "Then what do you want me to do with the man you call the king of the Jews? What should I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Crucify him." But the governor said, "Why? What has he done wrong?" But they kept shouting even louder, "Crucify him." Pilate addressed them again because he wanted to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" He said to them a third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no grounds for sentencing him to death, so I will whip him, and then I will release him." But they kept pressuring him with loud voices, demanding that he be crucified, and their voices were overwhelming. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, knelt in front of him, and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spit on him, took the staff, and hit him repeatedly on his head. They also kept hitting him in the face. Pilate went outside again and said to them, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and guards saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" Pilate told them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no basis for a charge against him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He went back inside the palace again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate asked him, "Are you not talking to me? Don't you know that I have the authority to release you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me at all if it had not been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to release Jesus, but the Jews shouted, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside. He sat down on the judge's seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, or Gabbatha in Aramaic. It was about the sixth hour on the preparation day for the Passover. Pilate said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They shouted, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Should I crucify your king?" "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing and that instead was turning into a riot, he decided that what they demanded would be done. He took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, and said, "I am innocent of this righteous man's blood. It is your responsibility." And all the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Since he wanted to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. So then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. After they had mocked him, the soldiers took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. Jesus was carrying his own cross. As they were going out of the city, a certain man, Simon the Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country. They placed the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of his people was following him, including women who were mourning and wailing for him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Be sure of this, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never gave birth and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things to the green wood, what will happen to the dry?" And this ends the Passion reading. We'll continue now with our seasonal response. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed.
Yeah.
God's grace and peace are yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 66, 67, and 68. I'll read. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And this is God's word. Every day, somewhere, couples, relationships, marriages end. And there are people that remember the happy moments when that relationship began. Remember the happy day when two people declared love for each other and put rings on each other's fingers, when so many promises were made to take care of each other when they were sick, when they were poor, when things were bad, as well as when things were good. They said they would cherish each other right up until one of them died. So what happens to those happy days and that awesome commitment to each other? What does it take to break up a marriage, to break up a relationship? How many disagreements and arguments, how much disgust over things like personal habits, too much alcohol, fits of anger and rage, physical, mental abuse, or even unfaithfulness? What causes the wow to turn into ugh? We've probably seen enough of these problems in our own lives to weep, because that's always a loss, and it's rejection when someone deserts a marriage. Likewise, Jesus inspired excitement, the wow, when he began his ministry. Yet the ugh entered the hearts of some, for him as well. It was during his last year of ministry. For 2 years, crowds regularly followed him, eagerly watching and listening. Shortly after, he had fed a college basketball arena-sized crowd of 5,000 men, plus women and children, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. The people began to think that they should make Jesus their king. They were even going to do this by force, probably so that they could keep him right there at the Sea of Galilee and get all the food and maybe also be free of disease. Keep in mind that all of these people were part of the chosen nation that God had carefully protected for more than 2,000 years. They knew that God had promised a Savior, and they were looking at Jesus as that promised one. And so it's tragic that their expectations were for a Savior very different than what had been promised. They were looking for a Savior who would give them food and health and wealth. Some of their own spiritual leaders had abandoned the beautiful promises of the Savior from sin and the giver of eternal life. They had turned those promises into a prediction of a king who would throw out the hated Roman rulers and establish a kingdom on earth with unlimited bread and health. How could that have happened? Well, an enemy must have been at work. One who would attack the Bible, one who would convince the spiritual leaders with a lie to reject Jesus. And many others chose to do the same. Jesus resisted their efforts to make him a king, and he withdrew from them. But the next day, the crowd found Jesus, and they had many questions. The subject turned naturally to bread. That's when Jesus said this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Well, they had bread on their mind, but the bread that Jesus was offering them was very different from what they were expecting and what they were truly wanting. He told them not about bread that was going to fill their stomachs. He talked about how he had come from his Father in heaven, how he was the bread from heaven, and that all who were eating from him, meaning all those who would receive him in faith, would live forever. He would raise them at the last day. But they seemed to stop listening. If you had been there, I think maybe you would have felt the enthusiasm go out of the huge crowd, like when a visiting football team scores the winning field goal as the clock runs out. Many started to turn around and head home. But it wasn't just the crowd of thousands who were walking away. Jesus had a group of disciples whom he was training to reach out with the gospel to the huge mission field in Galilee and beyond, really to the ends of the world. But the words of Jesus, the bread from heaven, were difficult to understand. How could he claim to give them eternal life? On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And right after that, we learn that from that time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. It's kind of hard to believe that some of Jesus' disciples would desert him. After all, they were the ones who had walked all those miles with him, who had slept on the ground many nights, had eaten with him, had seen his many miracles. Jesus is the most fascinating person who has ever walked the face of the earth. When he spoke, it was with a kind of authority that no one had ever heard before. This was a savior of the world who had come to offer his perfect life in exchange for our sins. He's getting ready for the battle that is going to take place at Calvary when he is going to give his life for all sins of all mankind. And he's been preparing his troops to carry on. And now some of them are leaving. They did not believe that Jesus had the authority or the power to grant eternal life, and it wasn't what they want. And so they reject him. They divorce themselves from him. And the wow of Jesus had turned into ugh. And it's sad to see his own reject him. The enemy of Jesus had gotten into their hearts and minds, and he had led them to believe this lie that Jesus could not be who he said he was and who he showed he was. The leaders were teaching falsities of the worst kind to their people, telling them that they could somehow get to heaven by trying to be good people and by following God's law. Jesus was simply telling them what he had done throughout his ministry, that God had so loved this world that what he was doing was giving his only son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. And instead they planned to kill him and reject his message. And so we begin to see these forces that Jesus was fighting against. How does that awe for Jesus go out of someone who's been exposed to him? Again, it's an enemy that has to do this. And it wasn't just back then. There's an enemy that still hates Jesus and, as much as he can, still fights hard against him. This enemy has encouraged lost people to grow deeper in their separation from God by establishing numerous false religions, such as Islam, Hinduism, atheism, materialism, and many, many more, all of them offering the exact same thing, a sort of path to God or substitute for God that actually ends up leading them away from God. This enemy has also made inroads into the Christian church, spreading false teachings, attacking the Bible, and using critics of Christianity in the media, in universities, and in politics to damage and destroy saving faith. Perhaps you've heard about the growing number of duns, people who are done with the church, people who have left and say they won't come back. Or maybe you've heard of the nuns, people who have no religion or no religious affiliation. The devil The enemy is like a terrorist who is cornered and knows that he's going to die, but he wants to take as many as he possibly can with him before he does. And even here in our own church, or within your own family, there are people whom you know who once enthusiastically promised that they would remain faithful to Jesus and his word, even if they had to die to do that. And yet those promises have been abandoned. Something has happened to take away their joy of being in God's house or being a part of his flock. Maybe you have someone close to you in your life who is slipping or has lost his or her faith. We all sometimes struggle with a personal doubt about something God says. Our doubts and questions keep buzzing in our brains. So you can understand Jesus when he turns to a smaller group of his disciples with this question. Listen carefully to it again. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus gives an opportunity to make a clear answer. And when he asked that of his 12 disciples, was there emotion in his voice? Did they hesitate? Did they want time to see how many others were going to stay first before they decided to give their answer? We don't know. But this is what we do know. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You kind of got to love Peter here because he's so right. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. When God created the world, we're told that he simply spoke. He said, let there be, and there was. There was light, there was dirt, there was stars. He just spoke. What power God has in his word. You and I can pick up a Bible in our hands, and when we do, we are holding that very power from God. We're holding his words of life, forgiveness, and salvation, and they have terrific power. In the book of Romans, we're told that faith comes from hearing that message, the message that is heard through the word about Christ. Only God knows how many believing Christians there are in the world. But here's what we know. That every single one of them did absolutely nothing to create saving faith in their hearts. And not a single one of them could do anything to keep that faith from escaping their heart. Everyone, you and I, come and stay by only one very powerful means. One agency, one path. It doesn't matter if it's spoken, doesn't matter if it's read, doesn't matter if you're listening to it from your computer or your phone this morning. It's the single most powerful force for good in our world. It is God's word. That's what has brought us to trust that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus has purchased and won us for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Jesus did it and paid it all for us. He loves us enough to die for us so that we might live with him forever. So we can maybe see why Jesus fought so hard against any kind of false teacher or false teaching. He warned, "Watch out for false prophets. They'll come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." They continue to oppose Jesus and to lure people away from Jesus. They have a lot of opinions and a lot of theories, but they do not have the words of eternal life. There is only one source for that, and Peter had it right. Lord, to whom shall we go? You, and only you, have the words of eternal life. Peter and the others were blessed, and they did not want to lose what Jesus had given them. And we also are blessed. You and I are washed in the blood of God's Lamb. We are forgiven. We have the words of eternal life. Jesus becomes our guest preacher every time that we listen to him, every time that we take his words in our hands and we read or listen to it. He promises to take us through this life of pain and hardship and ultimately death. He promises to be our way, our truth, and our life. Now, you and I are just about 2 weeks away from Easter. And whether or not we'll be able to meet together and worship on Easter is something that is a bit unknown at this point. But nonetheless, it's coming. It's spring now. This can be a time for us, a time for our congregation to grow more deeply in God's Word, to have our own spiritual spring training. Our prayer as a congregation could be this, that as we lead up to Easter and into the Easter season, whatever happens in regard to our congregation gathering together, that we would commit ourselves to being renewed in our zeal to make better use of God's Word in our lives. Here's how you could start. With your own personal reading program or home devotions, maybe here's another place that starting tonight, you could read through chapter 12 of John's Gospel and then read another chapter every day until you get to the end of John's Gospel. But what you would have is the story of our Savior's last week on earth. And not only is it riveting reading, but it also has the power to give life. You and I are challenged every day to hold on tightly to God's Word. You know, when we see and we hear all the stuff in this world, all the things that our sinful flesh chases after, and all the things that Jesus' enemy and ours, the devil, still throws at us, it's a pretty steady flood. So if Jesus were to ask us right now, you don't want to leave too now, do you? Would you join me in answering? Lord, to whom shall we go? You, and only you, have the words of eternal life. Amen. And may that peace, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen. For those of you who are wondering about what to do with your offerings, you can mail them into our old church address, mail them to our office manager's house, donate through PayPal on our website. You could save all of your offerings to give them in person once we're able to meet again, or join several other members who have set up our church as a regular automated bill pay through their personal bank or credit union. And if you have any questions about any of these things, please contact our church office. But we'll join now in prayer. God of love and hope, you made the world and you care for all creation. But the world feels strange right now. The news is full of all sorts of stories that cause a number of reactions in us. Some people are worried that they might get ill. Others are anxious for their family and friends. Be with us all and help us to find peace. Be with our doctors and nurses and scientists and all who are working to discover the right medicines to keep those who are ill. Thank you that even in these anxious times, you are with us. Help us to place our focus on our Savior and to recognize that in His Word we have exactly what we need, the power to restore hope, the power to drive out fear, the power to rest securely in the love and the forgiveness of our God. In Jesus' name we join now to pray as He taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen.
The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. The agonies of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Answer enemy. Now seated at your table, Jesus, thank you. By your perfect sacrifice, I've been brought. Your enemy, you make your friend. Pouring out the riches of your glorious grace, your mercy and your kindness know no end. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath.
Jesus, thank you. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. Once your enemy, now seated at your table. Jesus, thank you. Seated at your table, Jesus, thank you.
Thank you for worshiping with us today. Again, please reach out to our church office at 509-783-7265 if we could be of some assistance to you at this time. Before I wish you a good day, let me quickly bring up that word that we weren't going to mention for a little bit, coronavirus. Here's an encouragement that I'll share with you. You can take it or leave it. Everyone in our community is now affected by this. Schools are closed, people are working from home, activities have been canceled everywhere. Hours of operation, even at places like Walmart, have been reduced. We are doing this out of respect for our nation's officials who are trying to keep us all safe and as an attempt to not overload our medical system any more than we can possibly avoid. We're doing this also because we love our elderly and we want to keep them safe. Since we're all giving up so much, please do your part to make this count, to make this worth it. You may not personally be concerned about illness, but even if you aren't, please follow the guidelines within reason to make this all worth it. Please be mindful that while you may not be concerned about shaking hands and being around people, there may be others who are. Let's let our love for Jesus shine forth by sacrificing our own desires and our own freedoms for the greater good and to show love for our neighbors, whomever they may be. Thanks again for worshiping and listening today. Keep safe and God bless till we meet or you hear my voice again.